I want you to look again, if you would tonight, verse 17 of this text, and I want you to notice where the Apostle Paul really immortalizes the names of three men, who basically perform one simple singular act of grace and kindness. Verse 17 says, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus. For that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. Why? For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such. Pay attention. Take note. Recognize these three men for doing what? For simply refreshing my spirit, he says, and yours. So in this wonderful commendation that Paul gives under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, I'm struck by the words, my spirit and yours. These men, Paul says, have refreshed me, and these men have also refreshed you. Why? Because one of the spiritual laws and one of the realities of this world as a child of God is that a believer's spirit, now you'll see that word there, spirit, in that text is the little S. That's your emotions, if you will. The believer's spirit can become weary, tepid, discouraged, and weak. And furthermore, it can get to that place simply from the everyday demands and challenges and routines and struggles just of life itself. So, it's not surprising then to find that so many times, oftentimes, the Holy Spirit inspires Paul to use this same word, refresh. The Greek word is anapao. It's an interesting word, and it's used, for example, in the book of Philemon. And verse 7, where he says, we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the hearts of the saints are refreshed by thee, my brother. And then he repeats that same word again at the end of that epistle when he says, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee and refresh my heart in the Lord. Three times in the New Testament, this exact same Greek word is translated as, quote, rest. And in this companion text, which is one of my favorite texts in all the Bible, I've mentioned it many times in the past, Paul uses the word refresh when referring to the spirit of Titus. Turn ahead a few pages to 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. Would you do that? 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. Notice verse 13. Paul says that therefore we were comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit, there's that little S again, his spirit was refreshed by you all. Think about that for a minute. He says, I am glad for the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking in your part, they supplied, for they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Tonight, I want us to consider for a few moments what it means to need refreshment and to have refreshment in our spirit, yours and mine. Four simple things I want you to consider, and I hope you'll not forget them tonight. And I want us to consider them in light of who we are as God's people in a family, in an assembly, in a local New Testament church. Refreshment? Yes. The first thing you'll notice, number one, is that you need it. You need others. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, look at it again. Now notice with me verse 5. Follow this carefully. Paul says, when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, no refreshment. Same word. But we were troubled on every side, without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. Now look, a few moments ago we read in our opening text what Paul said about the coming. The coming of Stephanas, the coming of Fortunatus, and the coming of Achaicus. He said that they, these three men, have refreshed my spirit. Now wait a minute. Because you know, the one that we're talking about here in these texts, the one who says he needed to have his spirit to be refreshed isn't some melancholy, negative thinking stick in the mud. This is Paul. Paul, beloved, is not one of those energy-draining deadbeats who just suck the life right out of you every time he shows up. In fact, he's quite the opposite. Paul may have been the most optimistic and positive and determined and encouraging individuals in all of human history, not by any doing of his own, obviously, because outside of Lystra, Paul got a glimpse of death and the third heaven. It was a gift he was given. And with that gift, he knew what it was to rejoice in the Lord always and even, quote, to take pleasure in mine infirmities. Nobody had a better perspective than Paul. And yet notice that with all of that eternal optimism in his soul, he was a man who still needed to be refreshed. We just read verse 5. When we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. We were troubled on every side, without were fightings, and within were fears. Do you know that back in chapter 1 of the same epistle, Paul confesses that he was, quote, famous text, you know it, he was pressed out of measure, above his strength, insomuch, as I mentioned this morning, he despaired even of life. Paul was not a god, little g, ladies and gentlemen. He was a man. And like all men, and like all women, and all young people, he knew exactly what it was to need to have his spirit refreshed. You see the words there in verse 6 where it says, quote, cast down. You realize he's using those words in reference to himself. He's the one who was cast down. And beloved, the point is this, if Paul is a man who needs for his spirit to be refreshed, then obviously we do as well. Without were fightings, he said. Within were fears. That was his spirit. He says in chapter 2 and verse 4, out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. That, beloved, is a man whose spirit needs to be refreshed. And guess what? I don't know how long you've been saved here tonight. I don't know how independent or self-sufficient you think you are. I don't know how knowledgeable or mature or sophisticated you are in whatever way, but I do know this. If the Apostle Paul needed others, if he needed the coming of these three men or Titus, then so do you and so do I. You need a positive word. You need counsel. You need fellowship with someone. You need someone who can refresh your spirit from time to time. It is not good, God said, for man to be alone. So that always, you remember the Lord Jesus, when he sent out witnesses in the world, he sent them at least by twos, and for very good reason. You need others. You need the fellowship of God's people. You need to be in church whenever God's people are meeting in church. The second thing in the text, we said number one, you need others. The second thing you notice, number two, is that God has others. Obviously, 2 Corinthians again, look at chapter 7 and verse 6. He says, nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down. By the way, what a great promise, isn't it? You know, this is a promise, and Paul opens this great epistle with these words. He says, blessed be God, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. He is called that. It's his title. He says, blessed be the God of all comfort. In other words, it's part of his nature, it's part of his character, it's part of who God is that causes him to bring comfort and rest to a man's spirit. However, what we're reminded of in the Bible and in verse 6 is how God typically does this comfort. Look again, verse 6. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. It doesn't say by a rainbow in the sky. It doesn't say by an angel on my shoulder. Doesn't say by a vision in the night. He said, the way that God comforted me is by the coming of Titus. So, in other words, not surprisingly, God, who is the God of all comfort, for those spirits that need to be refreshed, God uses people to bring his comfort. In this case, it was a young Greek convert by the name of Titus. In his first epistle, as we read, it was Stephanus, Fortunatus, and Achaicus, among which, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4, he baptized one of their family members. In other words, these are not some sort of, these refreshers that God used. They're not preachers or pastors or evangelists or apostles. They're not scribes or scholars, beloved. They're just people that he calls brothers. In fact, Onesimus, that he says refreshed me so often, Onesimus was a slave in the Roman Empire. And in fact, if you look very carefully at the text, you will notice that there's an extremely significant sort of cycle that we've discussed in the past in the Christian life, and it regards the refreshing of your spirit and the person next to you and the person behind you and the person in front of you. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, let's look at it again, verse 13. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus. Why? Because his spirit was refreshed by you. Or by you all. Now, wait a minute, folks. You understand what he's saying. He's saying, we were comforted in your comfort. And then he says, we were even more comforted, we were more refreshed and joyed when we saw that Titus was refreshed and joyed because his spirit was refreshed by you. Go back again to verse 6. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation, same word for comfort, wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced, what? Even the more. Now I'm going to illustrate this tonight. I have some Cokes up here. These are ice cold, by the way, and I'm using Coke. And the reason I'm going to use Coca-Cola is not because I like it better than Pepsi, even though I do. But the reason I'm using Coke is because many years ago, they had a motto. And that motto was, the pause that refreshes. In fact, this is a typical ad up here behind me. This is the one I found. I think it's Time Out or whatever. I don't know, back in the old days. The pause. How many of you are old enough to remember that that was a motto for Coca-Cola? Anybody here old enough? Well, you guys are old. You just told on yourselves, because, I mean, when I searched for this, it was in the 20s, in the 1920s, and maybe the 1800s. I'm not sure. But anyway, thank you for remembering that. The Greek word anapau in the Bible literally means pause. Look it up. I don't know if Coke knew that, but that was their motto, the pause that refreshes. Now, Brother Terry over here is a Corinthian believer. He is a Corinthian believer whose spirit is discomforted and troubled. He needs refreshing. And it's no surprise that as the dean of a Christian school full of little Corinthians, amen, he's probably a little bit discouraged. So look discouraged. Oh, there you go. Perfect. Poor guy. He works hard. All right. Look at chapter 7 and notice verse 8. For though I made you sorry, Paul says, with a letter. What does he mean, I made you sorry? Sad. Verse 9. I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. In other words, basically, the Corinthians had been scolded and rebuked by the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians and another epistle as well. And for good reason, they had been very, very disobedient, okay? Very, very carnal. But to the point that they were pretty much broken, okay? They were sorrowful of spirit. And you know what that did? Because the kind of man that Paul was, it caused Paul to have a measure of grief and sorrow himself. Already, he's heavy-hearted with all kinds of afflictions and woes and disappointments. So the sorrow now of the Corinthians just added to the weight of his burden. So that now, not only is he in need, Corinthians in need of refreshing, but so is over here, Brother Sam, he'll be the Apostle Paul. Paul the aged, amen? But Paul admits, he says, I sorrowed. I was somewhat discomfited because I knew what I had written was strong and harsh. And so he needs comfort. Well, according to chapter 2 of this text, This is not a good situation. Go to chapter 2, would you? And let's read about it. Chapter 2, notice verse 1. Paul says, I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. What's he mean? He means, I don't want... This Paul doesn't want to come over here to this Corinthian with a heavy heart. Why? Verse 2. For if I make you sorry, who is he then that maketh me glad but the same which is made sorry by me? And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice. Now, wait a minute. You get the picture, right? If Brother Sam over here shows up all sorrowful and all weary and heavy burden when he gets to Corinth, and the Corinthians are already sorrow, full of sorrow, they're already weighed down and tepid, who is going to rejoice and encourage the spirit of whom? Well, look at chapter 2 and verse 13. Paul says, I had no rest. There's that word. Rest. Again, same word. I had no refreshment in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. Aha. Titus. I need Titus. Andy, you're going to be Titus. Run up here really quick. Titus. Titus is a young man who not only brought encouragement, just stand right here for a minute, Andy. Not only brought encouragement to Paul or Brother Sam over here, who said, I had no rest in my spirit, but might be used to bring encouragement to the Corinthians. You see, Paul, the Bible says, sends Titus to Corinth. And he sends Titus to Corinth with a message. And it is a message that is intended to bring refreshment. All right, take that refreshment. There you go. Take all three of them. Yeah, take them all. Go to Titus. Who's this guy? Go to the carnal one. There it is, right there. All right, sit next to him, Andy. Now here's what he did. He says, I'm going to send him to you. Titus is encouraged. He's full of a good spirit. And he goes to Corinth, and stay there for a minute. Look at chapter 7. Go back to chapter 7. And let's read what happens. Verse 13. Therefore, we were comforted in your comfort. Yea, and exceeding the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. In other words, here's what happened. Give him refreshment. Give him two of them. You really encouraged him. That's the first smile I've seen on Terry in a long time. Titus, Paul says, I heard when I got the letter back that Titus brought you great comfort. Now, once, Paul says this, I'm not saying this, this is what we just read and are continuing to read. Paul says that once Corinth was comforted by Titus, that in turn encouraged and even the more refreshed Titus. I'll give one back to him. Sorry about that. All right, so now he's all encouraged again. So Paul says that they basically refreshed each other. That's not all. Because then we read that as soon as Titus goes back to Paul, because Titus goes back to Paul with a message. So you go over to Paul, sit next to him. Give him some refreshment, Andrew, Titus. The Bible says that he took the refreshed spirit that he got from the Corinthians and he refreshed Paul. Verse 13, what's it say? Was really the same comfort he had given and received to the Corinthians. So, here's the cycle. Now, this is clear as a bell right here in this epistle. And it's a cycle that goes around and around, and it's a cycle that ought to go from this side of this auditorium to this section, to this section, to this section, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, and in Sunday school. Somebody who needs to be refreshed comes. Somebody who is refreshed encourages and refreshes. They get refreshed, and then that refreshes them, and then they give refreshment to somebody else who needs it. That's the cycle. We said, number one, you need others. Number two, God has others. Number three, I want you to notice, there's also the truth, as we just illustrated up here, that others need you. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? All right, look at chapter 7 and verse 14. He says, for I have boasted, if I have boasted anything to him of you, I'm not ashamed. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. Verse 16, I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. You pastor, what is he saying? Beloved, he is saying that he had hoped. He's saying that he had confidence that while he sent Titus over there to them so that they would be refreshed, he believed, he also believed that they eventually would be refreshers themselves. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, it's not good enough to sit out there tonight at Beacon Baptist Church in your pew and say to yourself, yeah, I agree with you, Pastor, I need to be refreshed. Pastor, I need Stephanus and I need Fortunatus and I need Achaicus. I need these men to come along and refresh my spirit. I, Pastor, I need Titus just like Paul and the Corinthians did. I'm glad that God is the God of all comfort because I need a refill. Where's my Coke? Nothing wrong with that, as we just noted, because God wants you to open your heart to those that he sends your way. That takes some humility on your part. God is the God of all comfort. God uses people to refresh the spirits of those who need it. Yes, yes, yes. There's just one thing. And that is, do not forget that you too are one of those people. You are also supposed to be a refresher yourself. And note this, especially when God uses someone to refresh you. In fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at this. This is a text that every Christian ought to know inside and out, ought to memorize. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Here it is. That, literally, so that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Did you get that? Can you possibly get any clearer than that? In other words, look, God is not only in the business of refreshing your spirit, beloved, but when he does, he wants to use you and that same refreshment and comfort to refresh somebody else. In other words, God is looking for a Titus. And more often than not, he is looking in your pew, in your seat, because you're the one. So that you put your arm around a discouraged or burdened brother or sister and tell them that you love them, that you've prayed for them. You sit down and take a moment and write a note or make a phone call to someone who is ill. You take a few dollars out of your own abundance and refresh someone's spirit by paying a bill they're behind on or providing them with a meal. Folks, this is God's plan. God wants one of us who needs encouragement to be encouraged by those who are encouraged. So that when we need to be encouraged and refreshed in spirit, the ones that we have already encouraged can come back and encourage us. All right, here it is again in the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, this. Most of the Christians at Corinth are cast down. Paul writes a letter to encourage them to get right, and they do, but Paul's now discouraged in his own spirit. He says, I had no rest in my spirit because he's afraid he may have been too harsh with them. Until Titus comes to Corinth, they encourage Titus. Titus is even more encouraged and more refreshed, so he goes over to Paul and encourages him, who in turn writes the book of 2 Corinthians and refreshes the Corinthians and encourages the Corinthians because of what they did through Titus. Did you get all that? Get the tape or go on the app. I don't know. Listen to it again. All I'm saying is that if you read this book and study it, you'll find that's a whole lot of refreshing going of the Spirit going on in the Christian assembly. And that is why, ladies and gentlemen, that God has called you and me not only to need a Titus, but from time to time to be a Titus. And why not, folks? It's a bitter and harsh and discouraging world outside of these walls. People, God's people, need refreshing. Why in the world would any Christian want to be a burdensome, negative thorn of affliction to their own family, to their spouse, to their parents, to their children, or to their church? Which brings me to a fourth and final lesson in the text. We said, number one, you need others. Number two, God has others. Number three, sometimes the others need you. And then number four, when all else fails, God himself will be the others. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, let me ask you this question. Suppose Paul, when he came to Macedonia and found that instead of being refreshed, suppose Titus was already discouraged. Somebody got a hold of Titus's phone number, called him up and said, Titus, you won't believe what so-and-so said about you. Timothy said, you're a little Greek punk, whatever. And so now he's discouraged. Guess what? Paul does not have his Titus when he had no rest of his spirit, no one to refresh his spirit. Suppose then that Stephanus and Fortunatus and Achaicus, they're all out of town. They're all in Vegas when Paul shows up in Achaia. In any case, they're not there. Now, what is Paul going to do? Well, the truth is, Paul found himself in that exact same situation at the worst time of his life. It was at the very end of his life, and I'm going to read to you what it says, even though it's very familiar to you. 2 Timothy 4, his closing words, he says this, Timothy, do thy diligence to come to me shortly, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He's departed into, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia. Titus unto Dalmatia. He's not around. He says, only Luke is with me. Now, wait a minute. Not only is Paul in jail, not only is he facing execution, not only has Demas forsaken him, but Titus, the encourager, is in faraway Dalmatia. But here's what he says. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. No refreshers until the very next verse. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. In other words, beloved, when there's nobody around, as God would have it, then you can always rest assured as a child of the living God that God himself will refresh your spirit. Now, no, I don't think you'll need that very often. In fact, it's only recorded here with Paul at the very end of his life, but it is his word. He is the God of all comfort. I can recall two or three occasions in my life when it seemed that there was nobody, and I needed God and God alone, the God of all comfort. And you know what I found? He was faithful, because that's who he is. But usually, almost always in the Christian life, God comforts those that are cast down by, this is what the Bible says, by the coming of Titus or Stephanus or Fortunatus or Achaicus or you. You. You need others. God has others. Others need you. God will be the others. I wonder tonight if you're up for that task. I wonder, when was the last time that you refreshed someone's spirit? Think about that. When was the last time that the Holy Spirit, remember this, the very name that Jesus gives to the Holy Spirit is Paraclete. The very name he gives the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. Well, you're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. We're indwelled by the Holy Spirit. When was the last time that the Holy Spirit used you, though, that you in leading of the Holy Spirit refreshed somebody's spirit? I'm not talking about buying them a house or a car or paying off their mortgage. Nobody can do, hardly anybody can do that. I'm not talking about anything like that. Unless you want to do, you know, my kids and pay off their mortgage, I'm okay with that. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just refreshing their spirit. When was the last time He knows when you need your own spirit refreshed. And everybody in this room can testify that there have been times in your lives when you needed someone, He sent someone. But He also wants you to be that willing someone that He sends to them. One more verse and we'll close. 2 Corinthians, go back there for a minute, would you? Look at chapter 8. Notice verse 16. Paul says, "But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you." In other words, folks, God did that. God put the care of Titus for the Corinthians in his heart. And God is going to put someone for you to encourage, for you to be a blessing, for you to refresh in your heart. Doesn't mean you'll obey it. Doesn't mean you'll follow it. Doesn't mean you'll follow through. But God does that. So that, you know what, instead of coming to church and just gossiping, complaining, or tearing apart and bringing people's spirits down even further, you go to that one and show them a measure of kindness. Give them a refreshing. I want you to remember this illustration tonight, beloved, and I even, to help you remember it, ask the fellows to get these Cokes. And we have enough for everybody here. They're on ice, they're in the back, they're in the foyer. I want you to grab one for your family when you leave. Because I want you to remember through this week that one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit is to comfort. But He doesn't do it in some spooky way. He does it through you. To be an encouragement to your wife, wives to your husbands, parents to your children, children to your siblings, church members to one another, even saved people to lost people as a testimony of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, tonight we thank You for our church, Your church, Christ's church. But thank You, Lord, for the opportunity and the privilege every time we gather, whether it's a fellowship, prayer meeting, a Bible study, Awana, children, whatever it is, Lord, even choir practice and children's choir, whenever Your people come, we have an opportunity to be encouragers, to be a blessing. As we sang earlier, Lord, make me a blessing to someone today. May it be our prayer every day, Lord, as Jesus went about doing good. May we do the same. Thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the great comforter, who comes alongside and even helps us not only to be comforted, to be comforters. Help us, Lord, in this great ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Glad you're saved. Amen. Don't forget, lots of Cokes back there on ice. Get one for each of your family members. Don't let the little kids get them. You get them for the little kids. God bless you. You're dismissed.